But at least once every month, we are visited by our friends from the Bridge Clinic to discuss another very important matter. I mean, all the issues we discuss about government doing this, about government doing that, government ensuring we properly manage waste, providing infrastructure, providing job opportunities, ensuring good healthcare services available, education. It's all to cater for the growing population. And how does the population grow? Contrary to myths and certain belief systems, pelicans or birds don't drop babies in people's homes. No. Usually people meet a man and a woman. Something happens magically sometimes. It's breathtaking. And then a few months afterwards, a baby is produced. So that's how it works, really. But in some instances, there may arise some complications or some delay for that magical thing to happen. However, even if you have been experiencing some delay, do not fear the worst, because there is help. And if you just talk to the right persons, you could be holding yours 9 months from now. And the guys, our friends at the Bridge Clinic, are experts in that field. They come here every now and then to talk to us about it. And joining me right now in the studio is Dr. Tambari Femi Oluwole. She's a fertility physician at the Bridge Clinic. Dr. Femi Oluwole, hello. Welcome to Canvas on Air. Pardon me, welcome to Halifax today.
Thank you, Dave.
All right, great to have you here.
Great to be here.
Today, we're discussing delayed conception, finding solutions. Delayed conception, finding solutions. Interestingly, in the intro I delivered just a while ago. Mm-hmm. Oh, pardon me. Okay. Female infertility, actually, is more, but however, that is an integral part of what we're discussing as well. So female infertility, and then, of course, we're going to be looking at delayed conception and finding solutions to that. So what's responsible for that? I know you said severally in the studio and some of the other colleagues who have been here as well, that ideally, when a couple are, you know, determined to have a child, when they have agreed to have a child, if they have sexual unprotected sexual intercourse consistently for 12 months, am I right?
Yeah, about 12 months.
Okay, about 12 months, they should conceive and thereafter have their foot on the womb. However, in some cases that may not happen in spite of the consistent sexual activity, which in which case they could be said to be having infertility issues. Mm-hmm. But today we're focusing on a female infertility.
Yes, we are.
But that does not suggest in any way that the female is exclusively responsible for infertility cases.
No, it does not. We'll come back another day for the men.
Okay, so female infertility, what is responsible, what is that really, and what's responsible for it?
Okay, so you have said quite correctly that infertility could be attributed to either the woman or the man. So basically, female infertility would be when the possible challenges would be coming from the woman's, you know, angle. For the men, there are not so many factors to consider because most of them would have to do with sperm production. But for the women, you have, you know, more parts because the woman is going to produce the eggs, but she's also going to carry the pregnancy. So you're going to be looking at things with respect to her, you know, whole body and her genital reproductive system in particular. So you're looking at things like the uterus, you're looking at things like the fallopian tubes, you're looking at the ovaries, you're looking at, you know, her general health and well-being, whether she has any medical conditions, you know, that could adversely affect fertility. So if you have any issues with the woman that could prevent her from either getting pregnant, carrying a child to term, then yes, she could have a female factor infertility.
Okay. All right, so how is it determined that the female is the one with the issues as far as infertility is concerned?
Okay, so we would be doing, you know, a general check. Basically, you would want to take a history first of all, find out how the woman is doing, what her history has been like, how long has she been trying, has she gotten pregnant previously with other partners, or is this, you know, unique to her current partner? If she had gotten pregnant, were there any interventions? Some people, you know, some pregnancies are unplanned and so they're gotten rid of. That may or may not, you know, cause complications. Some people actually have normal, you know, babies carried to term and then there are issues. So what we divide this into, we have what we call primary infertility and then secondary infertility. Mm. Primary infertility would be a situation where there has been no pregnancy in the past, and then secondary infertility, there could have been, you know, a pregnancy and probably a childbirth in the past, and then probably with this current partner, or sometimes a new partner, you know, she's not being able to get pregnant. So we would divide it, and then based on that, you would assess the woman, and you could, you know, point a few fingers here and there.
Oh, so whenever such tests are carried out, I believe usually or ideally they should be carried out with both couples, with the couple present.
Yes, ideally.
Ideally. Mm-hmm. Okay, so in such an instance where the couple undertakes this test, I believe there are tests you have to run on the male as well.
Yes.
Okay, if it is determined that the female is the one with the complications, mm-hmm. Let's start with that. What should the response or reaction of the man be? Should it be a case of, I knew it. I knew in our family it doesn't happen. Nobody has had this before. It had to be you. So go back to your people and solve your problem. When you have solved it, come back. Is that an appropriate response?
Of course, this is such an inappropriate response. We wouldn't want blame to be cast on anybody. The same way I feel if a man has an issue, his wife should be supportive. That's the same way if the woman has an issue, the man should be supportive. In fact, generally, society should be supportive. I think there's too much finger pointing at women about, you know, it's probably your problem. I mean, sometimes the couple don't want to disclose whose problem it is. It is their problem together. So they should be free to, you know, deal with it together. With the privacy, I mean, in the privacy of the doctor's office, you can find a solution and then probably move forward.
Well, sometimes even going for testing, I perceive, might be an issue with a couple, because they don't want to know that there's a problem. They don't want to find out if there's a problem. Almost like denying it or not knowing means the problem does not exist. If we don't know, some people have the notion that what you don't know cannot hurt you, cannot kill you. So if we don't know, that's fine. We keep believing God, we keep trusting God, and it's going to be fine. Because they're afraid that if they go to the Bridge Clinic, for example, you guys will find something to tell them. So for couples who are thinking that, what do you want to say to them?
Well, I would say that, you know, finding a solution or finding the cause of the problem or identifying a problem is halfway, you know, to solving it. So what I tell people who come into the clinic is that it's not everybody who comes into the clinic that needs IVF. There are people who have come into the clinic, you've identified a problem, it's something that can be solved, it's solved, and the woman gets pregnant at home. So, you know, the worry about, oh, I have to do IVF or I have to do assisted reproduction is not something that applies to everybody. Some people know, they have been told by their primary care doctor that you need assisted reproduction, but some people don't. So you come in and then you find out what's going on. The disadvantage of actually waiting, you know, so long is that the woman is actually born with all her eggs complete by the time she's about 20 weeks in her mother's womb, and these eggs are going down as the woman grows older. And it's not just in quantity, it's also in quality. So sometimes, yes, some women might not, you know, get to menopause as early as other women. That's when the menstrual period stops. But you know, at the age of 35, the woman's eggs are depleting, you know, rather rapidly, such that by the time she's about 40, she's gone through about 90% of her eggs. So she doesn't really have time like that. You could say, oh, I want to wait and I want to, you know, and sometimes you come in and they say there's no eggs, and some people regret that they knew about this a while ago, but, you know, they could have come in and, you know, they were not ready to come in at that time.
Well, so if a woman is with a partner who is recalcitrant, and it doesn't matter how many times she's heard you or some of your other colleagues in the Bridge Clinic or Nigeria Info, always heard advice from other persons, he will not budge, will not go for a test. Can the woman decide to visit a specialist by herself to have herself tested?
Yeah, so the woman can test herself, but I think it would be... we wouldn't be very, like, if you present as a married woman, I mean, nobody will really be eager to treat you without your partner. So yes, we can find that, okay, there's a problem, but we need your partner for you to get pregnant. So you need to bring your partner in. We understand that some men are not willing to go that route, and we talk to them, we counsel them, but you can't force anything down anybody's throat. The patient still has autonomy. So yeah, he's allowed to make that decision, unfortunately.
All right, so what are some of the factors that cause infertility or a delay for a woman?
Okay, so looking at it structurally, if you look at the uterus, which is where the pregnancy is carried, you could have things like uterine fibroids, which are masses that are present in the uterus and are common or commonest actually in black women. So we see a lot of those fibroids. Now, not everybody who has a fibroid needs to have surgery. I think I'm going to have to say that again, that not everybody who has fibroids needs to have surgery. So fibroids will be treated on a case-by-case basis. Some people have fibroids which are symptomatic, so they're giving them some problems, a lot of bleeding, a lot of pain, and so they do need to take them out. Sometimes the fibroids are causing an obstruction either to the tubes, or they're sitting right in the middle of the uterine cavity where the baby is supposed to sit. That could be a problem. But occasionally the fibroids, you know, can coexist with pregnancy, and so we might just leave it well alone and try to do the treatment without taking out the fibroids. Some people have scars.
On the fibroid matter, fibroids are not spiritual babies.
No, fibroids are not spiritual babies. Okay. Fibroids are actually benign tumors. They're not cancerous, but they are tumors. And the only way to remove a tumor is to remove it.
Okay, spiritual husband did not put it there.
No.
Okay, all right, just clarifying that. Go ahead, please.
All right.
Scars.
Yes, so you could have scars in the uterus as well. And scars could be from inflammation or any injury. So previous surgeries, previous maybe terminations of pregnancy that were not maybe done so well, previous infections could actually cause scarring inside the uterus. So the scarring could be mild, it could be very severe, and those scars could actually affect implantation of a fertilized egg in the uterus and an eventual pregnancy. Some women could have blockage of their fallopian tubes.
Still on the show, scarring.
Mm-hmm.
Can sexual activity with a man who is overly endowed cause scarring?
Well, it depends. So I think the general answer would be no. But if you have trauma, you know, depending on the kind of trauma, any kind of trauma can cause some kind of, you know, there'll be healing, and then if there's healing, there'll be scarring. But usually no, because you're not going all the way into the uterus. You're basically stopping in the vagina.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
All right, so you could have blockage of the tubes. Now, the tubes are the channel where the egg and the sperm usually meet. So if you have an egg and a sperm that cannot meet, then there will be difficulty. So typically, the sperm is actually a very small cell, and the sperm can swim all the way to meet the egg. But sometimes the egg might not be able to return into the uterine cavity, and so that will be a problem. So that's basically the channel between the ovaries where the eggs are and the actual body of the uterus where the pregnancy is supposed to be carried. So if both tubes are blocked, then there's an issue.